Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Out of paper, out of stock. There's friendly faces around the block. Break loose from the chains that are causing you pain. Call Michael and Stanley, Jim and Dwight Creed. Call Andy and Kelly for your business paper needs. Or Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people.
Hello and welcome to the Michael Scott Podcast Company, a show for fans of The Office by fans of The Office. I'm your host, and I am 1/8 proud of you, Sean Roney.
And I'm Edwin Janes, head barista at Dwight's Caffeine Corner.
And with us, as always, our producer in the warehouse, Mr. Alex Ward.
I own a 1/8 share in a rental property down in Pittston.
Well, I'm 1/8 proud of you.
You did there it, Sean. Stole my thunder.
We never plan these together, so we like to surprise
and
each
I
other
usually have
every
a,
now and then.
I usually got another bullet in the chamber in case you'd use mine up, but Hank's pretty slim pickings out there. So,
well, I am 1/8 proud of you too, Alex.
Actually, so. Thanks, man. Wait, I do have another one. Sorry, tee me up again.
Okay. And with us is always our producer in the warehouse, Mr. Alex Ward.
Well, let me finish.
All right, yes.
Very good.
That's the whole thing.
Every week we get together and talk about our favorite show, NBC's The Office. This week we'll cover our main topic. Then we'll head to the conference room for some voicemails. And then we'll end the show with the results of our costume contest.
Very exciting. We got a bunch of submissions. We've chose one, and I'll say now, just to plug this at the front of the show, which is the winner will receive a piece of merch from our brand new store, mspcstore.com, where you can buy our show merch. Right now, we just got mugs with all of our character drawings on it, a full cast mug, and we have a sweatshirt and a t-shirt. So that's it for now, but it's enough to satisfy you for now. We hope so. The mugs look great. I just got one in today. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what is it again?
What's the mspcstore.com.
Nice.
That's it. And again, we're going to be giving the winner of this costume contest at the end of the show. We'll be sending them a sweater.
Yeah, special thanks to everyone who submitted their costume. Special thanks to Ryan Lloyd, who designs all our artwork that is on that merch.
Thank you for listening. I was ready to take the show.
Okay.
What are we talking about today?
No. We have a main topic for today, and that topic is Hank Doyle. That's right. Hank Doyle, aka Chief, aka Elliot, and aka Dorpheus. If you have seen, if you know, you know. I'll just say that. Hank Doyle, the security guard at the Scranton Business Park, played by Hugh Dane. Rest in peace to Hugh Dane. Passed away back in 2018. Has a pretty successful acting career. I mean, you know, obviously, I think, you know, his biggest role is Hank in The Office, but he's done quite a few great TV shows. He's been on Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. He was on Boy Meets World, Friends, Sister, Monk. He was in Wet Hot American Summer, The First Day of Camp. He's been in some great movies like Bridesmaids.
Yeah.
Yes. So, Hugh Dane, we miss you, man. Thank you for doing such a great job as Hank, for being so funny.
What was he in Wet Hot First Day of Camp?
He's a judge, and I don't actually, I do my research on Wikipedia here, but I, but,
gotcha. Yeah, okay, nope, I got it.
He is a judge in Wet Hot American Summer. But yeah, Hank, we're giving every character a chance on this podcast. No character is too small. No role too small.
If the Vance refrigeration guys can get an episode, so can Hank, and so can you.
One of the fun angles of doing this show is the fact that we can examine every little piece of the ensemble, of the environment, of the office itself. And Hank is such a fun sort of character in the ensemble. He's only brought out from time to time, and there are so many episodes where he's credited and he doesn't even have any lines. He's just in the mm-hmm. background. But he's a really great comedic presence, and we wanted to carve out a little episode for him.
Not much lumbar support.
Going back through Hank's scenes, they're all so funny. Like, his first introduction in the show is actually a deleted scene from Halloween where Michael tries to fire Hank, and Hank informs him that he can't fire him. He works for the building.
You can watch it in the Superfan episode. It is cut in there. And they say, Michael's trying, for he's like, get your pepper spray ready. He says, who is it? And I don't know yet. And then, he says, do you work for us or do you work for the building? And he says, yeah, I work for the building. You're on your own. Yeah.
You know, when you need Hank, you need Hank. Mm-hmm. That's sort of his... He comes in for very specific situations. He only actually carries out security measures a couple times. At least when we actually see it. But I'd say that what makes Hank so interesting to me is... He's a character in the whole fabric of the show who truly has no allegiance to anyone, nor does he have any stakes in any of the characters' lives. He comes neutral. In, he's the most neutral ingredient you could add into the cocktail of the show, because he's like, he doesn't care what anyone thinks about him. He's not trying. Even when like Michael goes on a sales call or we meet tiny characters out in the world, they generally have some interest in what's going on when they interact with an office character. They want something from them. Or they need something. Not Hank. He's completely neutral, which makes him interesting.
I think, Hank, his appearances are spaced out in a way that I think is really interesting. Like, you know, his first intro is in that Halloween episode in season two, mm-hmm. or that deleted scene. You know, I'm just going through his different credits, but, like, he doesn't appear in every season. He doesn't appear at any sort of regular interval. He appears the most in season seven, I think, when the ensemble is kind of at its fullest, and he just comes in for just these little moments whenever they need him. He's almost like he reminds me a little bit of a character in like The Simpsons or 30 Rock or another show like that, where they just come in for the tiniest little scenes, but they can have a big impact. And Hank, in some of his scenes, he doesn't even say anything.
Totally. And in like The Simpsons or a case like that, he'd be a character that another person who voices a ton of other characters just also does. You know, mm-hmm. it's like, he's not even enough to have, but because it's live action, of course, you need your own actor. But I feel like he's such a small character. That's a good way to sum him up. And I mean, he does play a role in some a couple of plot points, not many, but they give him some stuff to do.
In terms of the way that he enters the show, so obviously we have that deleted scene that you mentioned, Sean. But the other one is in drug testing when he gives Dwight the. Dwight is awarded the, I don't have the quote in front of me, but the corporal, or he deputizes Dwight with the little plastic badge, and Dwight is so happy to receive the honor. But again,
he reads this is
I'll have to bring my bow staff.
Yeah.
But I don't think so.
That's the thing. So many of Hank's line reads are so flat. They're not super animated. They're not super excited. And that's part of the comedy that he brings to the show, is that like... Beyond not having an allegiance, he's totally disinterested.
He's very real. He's a checked out security guard.
Start your day with a blast of blueberry or try plain.
It's like, have a little pizzazz. Hey, come on, buddy.
it is funny how flat his delivery can be, but I'd be hard pressed to find a scene that he's in where he doesn't do something funny. Mm-hmm. Or say something, have a funny response, or have some attitude.
Well, and that's his funniness comes from the fact that we expect a character in his situation to do certain things and he doesn't do them, and that's why it's funny, is he just doesn't care. Or or when we expect him to not care at all, he actually does. Like when he comes up for, on the chair versus copier debate, you know, and he's like, he kind of settles into that. And we'll get to that scene because it's a big one for Hank. But before we, I wanted to bring this up, which is, in drug testing, we learned that Hank's last name is Tate. Well, I don't know about you guys. I thought his last name was Tate for the longest time. Even up until doing this episode, and you're like, oh, right. I guess it's technically Doyle, but his name tag says Tate for quite a while before the we see him at Crime Aid doing his song.
In the drug testing episode, it very clearly says Tate on the name tag on the jacket.
Yes.
But later when we see the CD, it says Hank Doyle is the blues.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, no, actually, you guys are right. Yeah, even on Wikipedia, he's credited as Hank Tate. So
I know, and even later in the show, it says Tate again after they've changed his name to Doyle. So
perhaps Hank Doyle is just his stage name.
Could be.
Yeah.
Like he actually made that album, and he just had a few copies they brought to set.
That is such a fun, such a great little detail, the Hank Blues music.
I know.
Hank Doyle is the blues. Mm-hmm.
That'd be a great piece of memorabilia to have an album.
It's just one of those little CDs.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be easy to make, but...
That's the thing. It'd be easy. Yeah, it's like the little thin... Like when you would burn CDs at home.
That and The Hunted.
Oh,
boy,
yeah.
Here's a problem that... kids will never understand, which is when you'd break one of the little plastic teeth that held in the insert on a CD.
You'd
open and it would kind of flop out, and it was always really annoying, and you wanted it to just slide in those little teeth just nice.
Yep.
And it would break. CD wouldn't stay flush in there, so you'd miss the little teeth. CD problems, huh?
Yeah.
Dating ourselves here.
Remember that, guys?
Okay, boomer.
You would not believe what they do.
But yeah, Hank, you know, after those first two moments, I think his next appearance is in Night Out when he's called to the rescue. And they even have the scene where Jim says, does anyone know the security guard's name? Toby just has him in his phone, a security guard home. And Creed gets it right. Hank, his name is Hank.
His name is Hank.
Yeah.
Jim's like, no, it's not Hank. Like, what is it?
Who do
it's
I?
Elliot.
Yeah. Who do I have here? Who do I got? Who do I got? Yeah.
Hey, Chief.
That's like the beauty of having such like an ensemble character that's set kind of in the real world, that you don't have to go to him to be silly all the time. You can go to him as the opposite of that. Like if everything else in the office environment with the cast and the show is truly ridiculous, then it is equally funny to play to a serious presence. I'd be there if you he's like, if you stopped interrupting me, put my damn socks on.
he's
put on my damn socks.
He's a perfect impartial just backdrop for the characters to like toss stuff off of. As also very evidenced in Blood Drive, when like Michael wakes up from this like woman he believes is a perfect woman for him, and he wakes up and it's Hank. It's just the ultimate person to have there in place. I'm just like, oh man.
And Hank has the perfect response. What?
What?
Like, a perfectly appropriate response to being mistaken for this mystery woman at the blood drive. I think another funny thing about Hank is the physicality. Like he is I saw somewhere that he's listed as 6'6".
Is it really?
Oh wow.
He's a very tall actor and he like has that presence on screen. And like it just really, really stands out as a security guard. As someone who's literally above the fray when it comes to the office, but there's something to that. I really love how tall he is, especially compared to Michael. When he kicks Michael out, or like he's brought in to escort Michael out.
Yeah, come on, man.
He's that much taller than Michael. Yeah,
dang.
Hank, please escort Charles out of the building.
Yeah, come on, man. He's just like I'm so mad. I meant to. I think I did isolate the they were both tall guys. I meant to isolate that. What a perfect time to use it, but I failed. Damn it.
But yeah, Hank just comes up in these little moments. He's always a welcome presence.
Always.
Yeah. Did anyone invite Hank up here? That's in the surplus.
Mm-hmm.
Did anyone call Hank up here? Is there a security problem? You know, I hustled up the stairs.
You know, I hustled up. Yeah. He's not enthusiastic about his job. He's just clearly has settled for this job, and he does it at the Scranton Business Park. I can't imagine. I mean, like, one of the biggest security things that we've ever seen happen there would be what, Frank in the parking lot when he takes out, goes after Pam? You know, it's like
Frank in the parking lot, and then Dwight shooting fake a gun. Fire. The gun.
Dwight's done a bunch fire. Of stuff. Which is great, because Hank kind of treats Dwight a little differently than everyone else, because he knows he's an actual wild, he's an actual wild cannon a little bit, security-wise. Mm-hmm. Like, he brings weapons to work. He organizes his Knights of the Night there. Like, if you're Hank, if anyone in that building is someone you need to keep your eye on, it's Dwight. And it's the very person who then buys the building, which is great.
It's like when Dwight talks about bringing in his potato gun. Yeah. Can you imagine if I were deranged?
I know. Well, I mean, it starts with the bow staff right away. You know, it's not, he's not someone security likes.
No. I mean, we should talk about the Cerberus, because I think sequentially that's his, it's one of his next appearances.
It's a big one.
Before the Cerberus is Goodbye Toby, where he's just brought in to escort Toby out of the building. And Michael really? Says, it's a corporate policy. Toby says, it's not. He's like,
like Toby knows.
Yeah.
Because that's his job to know.
He knows that it's not a corporate policy.
And then Michael's like, well, you could take something. And Hank's like, I don't think he's going to take anything.
But when we go to the surplus again,
no one has a camera here.
Is there a part two to that that you're gonna play?
I just like that one on its own.
But in the surplus, they bring up Hank, and again, where Hank is serious when the rest of the office is not, Michael starts to explain what a surplus is, and Hank just says, I know what a surplus is.
Yeah. And even in that, I like that too, that I think it's very realistic that Hank would have an opinion or a thought about copiers. And chairs, because like, Hank is probably the person who receives Dunder Mifflin Business Park mail at that door when the mailman comes in, and he probably just sits there thumbing through office supply catalogs in his spare time because he's got nothing to do. So he's probably does know a ton about chairs and a ton about copiers at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense.
Well, there's that moment where he, like, they're like, Michael says, Hank's decision will be the final decision, and we will resolve this issue.
Issue, yes, yes. Thank you for that.
Hank starts to take some candy. They're like, yeah, as much as you want. He's like, all right, it's warm up here, you know.
Yeah,
warm
up here. I know. He totally takes that little bit of power.
He settles into the role. He's very, he really... yeah. It was like it's very similar to when Kevin and Angela are talking. What do I want?
Yeah totally.
Like, no, you gotta say something. You gotta say something. Yeah, he's really owning the moment. And then
everyone is listening to me.
Michael says, okay, get out.
Just sends him out.
Yeah,
yeah. I love to see Hank come out of his shell a little bit. It's probably at that moment in the surplus, certainly in Crime Aid, when he performs his blues music. Mm-hmm. Just me and the blues. But then I also love Hank when in the episode with the magician.
Yeah.
Hank just has maybe one of his best moments in the whole show.
Ma'am, I got my eyes open.
The sleepiest line.
He's just not even looking up from his magazine. He's
entered
like,
and left.
That's not right.
Yeah. Magician, wait, you don't think he used...
Couldn't have been Matt. Pam's just like, okay,
wait a minute.
Let's go.
You said he was a magician. Yeah. He just doesn't care at all. Yeah. It's awesome.
Well, and like, if you're Hank and you've seen these people do all these things over all these years... And one day they're like, what is it today? Now they're worried about a magician who's going to come into the building. Hank can't care about that, you know?
Nope. Nope. It's not like he has cause to even stop a person. It's so funny.
And I imagine there's that conversation where Pam says, Hank, if a magician comes in, you need to let me know. You need to try to stop him. Mm. And Hank would say something like, are they a security threat? Pam would say, well, no, not really. But and then Hank just, all right, why would Hank bother after that?
Yeah, like, I'm not
he's
your
not,
Yeah.
He's not a doorman.
No.
He's just a security guard.
No, he's a security guard for the premises.
Soon you'll be on your feet, like Buckingham Palace.
Enjoy that chair for now.
Another moment where it kind of comes out of his shell is in PDA in season 7, where Andy and Aaron have they're doing the scavenger hunt that Gabe has laid out for them, and the clue in the closet is eat at Hank's. And she's like, one Aaron special, please. And he says, here's your bottle of sparkling cider. And Aaron says, that's my favorite. And Hank says, I'm not supposed to tell you to enjoy a mid-hunt break. And, and look for a heart or some shit in the break room when you're through.
Enjoy a mid-hunt break. Well, this is the thing about him is, for all the stuff he does put up with, he is involved in things from time to time that he seems to kind of... It breaks up the monotony of his job, I'm sure. Something like that. So he does put up with stuff. He plays along just as much as he needs to and nothing more.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think the most passionate, though, you ever see Hank about anything is the skateboarders in season 9.
And the whale.
Who we don't meet. But Hank goes, it's Jim is trying to have a phone meeting with investors for Athlete, and he leans up against Meredith's van and the alarm starts going off, and Hank just comes right out of the building and he's like, is that fuming. Those skateboarders again? Those punks, show yourselves. He's like, this ends now.
This ends now.
I love that there's just an epic rivalry going on.
Between Hank and the skateboarders.
I would have loved
Meredith right on his heels with a baseball bat.
Jim, who went after my van? What, you know, in a weird, in a funny way, and this is not a topic that pertains to Hank per se, but... the idea that Jim is having a hard time calling into a meeting, that's, in a weird way, that's one thing that doesn't hold up now, because with everyone being so remote, how many times have people called into meetings from different places? And
true.
Oh, you know, this happened to me the other day because I was driving around and
Did you run into the skateboarders?
I had to call into a Zoom meeting and it was just like, and it was a big pain in the butt. And then I leaned up against a van and an alarm went off. And now
This ends.
Can we add that as a drop for future episodes? I thought about sending it to you beforehand, but
It's going to have a car alarm going off in the background, but
it's true.
Can you isolate that?
I'll do my best, guys. Yeah, sure.
Computer, Zoom, enhance.
I'll put that much effort into my sound production for this show. Yeah, sure.
Okay, thanks, bud. other Hank,
the crowning achievement for Hank is the Matrix cold open. And it's so unfortunate that it got cut for time, where Hank plays Dorpheus, the brother of Morpheus. Of and one of my favorite moments is when Jim and Pam are there saying, Hank is so good on his feet. I knew he would kill it. He's so good in the moment.
They're impressed.
Yeah, he really does such a good job because Hank is such an unassuming character to be revealed as Dorpheus, to take Dwight to the back and offer him the red pill or the blue pill. Like, he really, really does such a good job of playing that role and totally going against his own type.
And I like that they save that for the finale. In that, it just that's if you do that, that's the last time you can use Hank. Like, that's the last thing you could do with Hank. Because I feel like after, if you see Hank again and he's his old sour self after that episode, you'd be like, come on, you did the whole Morpheus thing with Jim. Like, no way you'd be that. You'd feel that way. So it was good timing. But yes, unfortunately cut. There's a lot of good stuff. It seems like they cut.
If I was
Hugh Dane, I'd be bummed for a lot of reasons, but mainly because they cut my stuff. You know,
I know. I was just thinking that.
When Michael says goodbye to him and goodbye, Michael, there was a whole nother, he had Hank on his list.
They do the goodbye,
and I think it was supposed to just be, it's a scene of them arguing over the tip that Michael gives Hank, and Michael begrudgingly accepts that as his goodbye. He's like, you know what? That makes sense. That's Checks how I say off. Goodbye to Hank.
I think there's just another moment that we got to mention, too, where a time when Hank doesn't care about his job, and it's just Stairmageddon. Just sitting at the front desk as Dwight drags Stanley past him. Just waves with a cup of coffee.
Hank is amazing as, like, sort of a sounding board where he either reacts or he doesn't react. So that's a really great moment where he doesn't react. Yep. Michael and Holly in, I think it's in the seminar, when they, in the entire run of the show, have we ever talked about Mykonos?
Mykonos. Of course, yeah.
I'm sure that we have, but yes.
It felt like something we haven't talked about in a very long time, if that is the case. But like they say, Holly says, we have to go try this on someone. And who do they go to? They go to Hank. Hank is the guy that they, the neutral party they go to try this on.
Yeah. He will resolve this issue.
Yeah. Yeah.
Issue.
Yeah, I mean, that's like one of my favorite. I feel like that's one of my favorite moments in the whole show.
Mm-hmm.
No more brain damage.
It's a very strong coffee with milk from a goat. It's like not even a Greek accent. Like it's just
no,
like,
I know. Not at all. I mean, Michael's accents never match up with this.
And the Michael pulling the shirt collar over his like jacket lapel. That's the only difference.
By the way, and that voice is pretty much his Despicable Me character.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the Grand Strangler.
I'm going to get you.
But yeah, Hank is just such a good, he's just such a good little presence in the office.
He's so consistent.
And as far as like this episode, trying to go through his acting credits and trying to find the Hank scenes in every episode, even when, because a lot of them, he doesn't have a speaking role. He's just there. And so that's like, that was a fun little like Easter egg trying to find all those moments, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Please let us know if we missed any favorite Hank moments of yours, if you're listening. But yeah, I think we can move on to our conference room since we got some voicemails to get into.
Yeah,
shout out to Hank, RIP Hugh Dane.
Yeah, RIP. We'll be back with our conference room right after the short break.
This episode is brought to you by Raycon. It's never too early to start gift shopping for the holidays, especially because today you can save big on a gift they'll use every day. Raycon wireless earbuds. One thing that has become a daily routine, or daily if I can manage, is a walk. It's a way to break up the working routine, especially with working at home. It's good to get up, get a breath of fresh air, take a walk, listen to some music, listen to a podcast. And for me, using the everyday earbuds from Raycon has been a staple. They're absolutely fantastic to use. The battery life lasts forever. And I can't imagine that sort of routine without. With seamless Bluetooth pairing and a comfortable noise isolating fit, you can start listening right away and keep listening for hours. The audio quality is amazing, comparable to what you get from other premium brands, except Raycon starts at half the price. The new everyday earbuds come with 3 new sound profiles to make sure everything you're listening to sounds its best with just the right amount of bass. Pure mode for podcast listening, blues, instrumental, balance mode for rock or heavy metal, and bass mode for hip-hop, EDM, and reggae. You might need to try the 3 of them and then come back to us with what kind of mode would be good. I wonder what mode Dwight would use to listen to Cats in the Cradle before trying to use Jim's baby to steal his desk. Well, he would take off the headphones and then rig-a-kick-coo. But Raycon offers 8 hours of playtime and a 32-hour battery life. There's also a built-in mic so you can take calls on your earbuds at the press of a button. So this holiday season, get them something they can use for calls or music, for work or play, at home or on the go, or pick up a pair for yourself. Trust me, you're going to use them every today. Go to buyraycon.com/Scott today to unlock exclusive deals up to 20% off your Raycon order. But hurry, this offer is available for a limited time only, and you don't want to miss it. That's buyraycon.com/Scott to unlock up to 20% off your Raycons. Buyraycon.com/Scott. Rig-a-g-a-goo.
Let's say your company has to replace a 1 in a million employee, like Sean Roney. How will you find them? You don't need luck, you need Indeed. Indeed is a hiring partner that gets you what you really want. A short list of quality candidates as fast as possible. Because you can do it all. Attract, interview, and hire all at Indeed. Don't struggle on your own to find quality candidates. Indeed can help you hire the right people right now, and they partner with you on every step of the hiring process. So you can find talent with the skills that you need through tools like Indeed Instant Match, assessments, and virtual interviews. One of the things that I like about, well, a couple things I like about Indeed, let me tell you. Indeed makes it easier for star applicants to shine with over 135 assessment tests from cooking to coding. And with Indeed assessments, you can reduce your hiring time by 12%. 12%, Sean. 12%.
Are you guys replacing me?
If we did,
show me that farm.
If we did, we could do it 12% faster.
Show me that farm.
According to Indeed data worldwide. So get started right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job at Indeed.com/Scott. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/Scott. Again, Indeed.com/Scott. Offer valid through December 31st. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
A need for Tweed.
A need for Tweed.
Right now, conference room. Topic, potpourri, let's go.
Alrighty, folks, we've got another batch of voicemails here for you. Thank you to everyone who has called in. We get so many. Yes. You guys are wonderful. Couple ground rules, again, just in case yours didn't get played. When I look through the voicemails, I'm pretty much looking. If it's not under 90 seconds, I keep moving on. Again, I'm listening to them. But we don't play them on the show if they're under 90 seconds. So just a heads up.
If they're over 90 seconds.
Sorry. Yes. If they're over 90 seconds, a minute and a half, I just kind of, I automatically, as I'm going through all the voicemails, I move them to the side. So if you don't want to be in that pile that I move to the side, keep it brief.
And if you have to do two takes, don't worry. Other people do that too.
Oh yes, if you need to like send one in, I'll tell you this. What gets a lot of people over the 90 second mark, unfortunately, is all the kind words at the beginning to us, which is like, I love it. It's so nice. It warms my heart. But it burns about 30 seconds sometimes, and then they get to the question, and then it's suddenly 2.5 minutes. Aww, so we love the kind words. You could send us a separate one, and then just call back, and then just ask the question in a second voicemail. Even that would help. So anyway, that being said, let's get into today's. We had such good. I do want to give a shout out to people that called in. We got some Ted Lasso imploring us to do Ted Lasso season 2.
Nice.
We got big news on that, which we're not going to get into on this episode, but you can look.
You just did.
Well, the big news is not that we're going to do it. We are going to do it, but it's how we'll do it. But that remains to be shared. But yes,
Alex is going to burn a little CD, and then one of the teeth will break, and he'll mail it to you.
It's going to be so charming. But yes, no, the Ted pot, there will be more, there will be more biscuits with the boss. So don't you worry, but that'll be coming later. We had someone who has been listening to our show while they're doing all their wedding planning and they're going crazy. And I felt such kinship, nice. To this person because I'm doing the exact same thing right now.
Wedding kinder.
We've been asked also yet again to do a Talking Heads draft. So that'll have to be in the queue.
Okay.
Someone called us at 3 a.m.
You may ask yourself, how did I get... Sorry, it's so dumb.
I know, the talking head. Yeah. I'll take Naive Melody, first pick. Done. Psycho Killer, it's going off the board.
Yeah.
We had someone call us at like 3 a.m. when they woke up in the middle of the night and couldn't get back to sleep.
Oh, that's awesome. Great.
All sorts of stuff. So we appreciate all that stuff, but let's
one
get
time,
into... Yeah, go ahead.
One time, I'm sorry to take up more time.
Do
one
it.
Time, we I think we received a call while we were recording. We were all... confused about it was, and we realized eventually that it was that somebody was calling us to leave a voicemail, but none of us have been like
that's right
on the account when the like active on online with that particular
yeah
account when the call came in. So one of these days I pray and hope that we will be able to receive a call live and talk to whomever it is.
If we do, I'll patch it through and we'll just take it.
Be a miracle.
So if you can guess when we record and you call us, we'll
all of that is to say, just keep calling. We love you. So
yeah. All right, let's get into these voicemails. Let's start here. Oh, let's start with Ian.
Hi, this is Ian from Little Rock, Arkansas. I've been listening to y'all's podcast for a while now. I just got to say, y'all are doing some great work. I love the show, so please keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
On like a cross-country road trip right now, and so your show's really getting me going, and I appreciate y'all for that. I know y'all talked about like big episodes, big moments on The Office, and I was just wondering if y'all had opinions on some of like the smaller scale episodes or what you would consider to be like the most toned down mundane episode of The Office. Something that's not super exciting, but you still love it because it's The Office and it's just showing kind of like their day to day jobs and where something isn't always happening, you know? So I'm not sure if that would make a good episode, but I think it'd be interesting to hear about. So keep up the great work and thanks for everything you guys are doing. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Ian. Much appreciated.
Appreciate you calling.
Of course.
Mundane favorite.
What's the most mundane episode of The Office is the question. I think we should cut off season one.
Okay.
Or is that too harsh?
No.
I just feel like
no, you can do that.
All the picks would be from season one, right?
You know, I mean, my mind goes to things like Bring Your Daughter to Work Day feels like a mellow episode.
Really? Interesting.
Maybe not.
You have kid energy in that one.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're absolutely right. I don't know. I mean,
I mean, you know, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. Stick to your guns if you want. But it's hard with Michael Scott. Everything's big.
Yeah.
No small moments with that guy.
I mean, certainly the energy. I mean, and we've talked about this so many times, but certainly like the energy and the pace really pick up in seasons like 7, 8, 9, and the jokes are just constant, and you know we've really gotten to know the whole ensemble, so everybody's character is a lot more vibrant.
How about Performance Review in season 2?
Oh yeah, that's a
yeah,
big one.
That's
yes, that's
a
very
call.
That's a perfect example. Yeah,
the big dynamic is that it's right after the client, so it's Michael trying to figure out where he stands with Jan.
Yep.
And Dwight and Pam convincing Dwight that it's Friday instead of Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
So like that seems pretty mundane to me, or a pretty low key kind of entry. I mean the stakes get so big. I'm trying to think of a casual Friday feels like one like that to me. Because it's right in between. It's right at the end of the Michael Scott paper company arc. Actually, I guess they do have that whole thing where they have to reconcile the two sides.
Right.
But that one for me is easy to forget about, I guess, because it's at the end of such a large arc and right before Company Picnic. Cafe Disco, in a weird way, is kind of like that.
Everybody. Yeah. I mean, I've always stated on the show that one of my favorite episodes is Murder, where not a lot happens, but that's not like a good everyday life.
I don't think that it has to be mundane. I mean, I don't think,
right.
I guess you're right. It just has to be like a smaller episode or a smaller moment that maybe, you know, you just love it anyway, you know. I feel like that way with St. Patrick's Day a little bit in season 6, where like they're trying to leave the office to go out for St. Patrick's Day. You know, that's like one of the main points of tension. I think I know that the jokes and stuff are bigger in season 9 and season 8, but a lot of the season 9 ones are kind of like that. They're easy to ignore. Yeah. Like Junior Salesman is kind of like that for me. It's easy to forget about in the larger scope of everything that happens in season 9, so many plot points, but like the dynamic of Dwight having to choose between all of his friends and us getting to meet all of his friends and then Dwight eventually picking no one. I just love meeting Dwight's friends. Like that's a little one that I always really love.
local ad is pretty chill, except for the actual, when you see the whole thing at the end and they're at the bar. But I don't know. Other than that, it's pretty chill. I guess you get all the music stuff. It's like everything, there's always something. But stuff that just takes place in the is never really leaves the main portion of the office. Oh, all feels email surveillance is pretty dry, pretty mundane as well. I mean, you could even argue that, like, every time I was like, you could argue christening, because there's just something about the church and the color of the room where they host the reception after they do the baptisms. That is such a familiar, like, Catholic church multi-use room to me that it's so mundane. Like, there's some other locations that they do a really good job at making them just, this is very boring.
Look at these scones, Jim. Thousands of them.
The fire is almost kind of a quieter episode in a way. Just they're just standing in the parking lot almost the entire episode.
Yeah, outside of the actual fire, it's pretty kind of just kicking around the parking lot.
Right.
Yeah. There's certainly a lot to be discussed here. We've now given Ian about 14 answers.
Yeah, I feel like
I like the question, because it's like, it's not what's underrated, or it's just kind of like what stands out to you that is kind
of
under the radar.
I think we do owe Ian our answer of what episode is the most mundane.
What episode is the most mundane? Is that the direct question then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I like what conflict resolution is good too.
Yeah, even drug testing. I mean, so many in season two. I feel like you get a lot more. It seems like in season two they're still cutting it. They're still editing in just like random moments of people, you know, using the copier and things like that too. You know, that definitely goes away after a while.
My vote's for performance review, just because
that's mine too.
It's such a boring function of The Office is what the whole episode revolves around.
Yep.
I think that's a good one.
That's a good one.
That's a great
one.
Answer.
All right. There you go, Ian. Hope you're happy with that answer, because that's all we got. Let's move on to Becca.
Hi, my name is Becca. I'm calling from Alabama. If you couldn't tell by my voice, hi. So I discovered you guys, I don't even know when. It's only been a few months, because I only started watching The Office when quarantine hit and Confidential was showing it every day. I'm 36 years old, but I just never really got it, never really listened to it. So anyways, I now watch the show on repeat. I've never related to Billie Eilish until I heard about her obsession with freaking The Office. Today, I was listening to the Ryan one, and I don't know why I never thought about it. Ryan's in the office at Scranton. So did David Wallace interview all these people in New York? But when did he interview Ryan? Did he interview him on the phone? Did he already have an interview with them? How did Ryan even get into the mix? And given everything that we know about Ryan, doesn't this just give us another reason to think David Wallace is a little bit loony? I mean, if we didn't already think he was loony that time we came to his house, Michael came and his son's playing the drums. And anyway, so
that's not
minute
David
30,
Wallace.
Trying to keep it under the minute range, but it didn't happen. Don't got to play the voicemail, but maybe just talk about it. I don't know. Or email me. Who cares? Cutting it short. Bye. Thanks.
Thank you.
Appreciate
thanks,
the hustle.
Becca.
That's awesome. Thank you, Becca. Oh my gosh, that's so funny that you just started watching during quarantine. That's great.
Yeah, fresh fan.
Man, I would love to discover The Office for the first time again.
It's a good point about, I mean, we could probably assume that Ryan decided to apply, called David, and assume they did an interview over the phone. We don't see Ryan go to New York. I feel like they were doing batch interviews. Like, they would have had Jim, when Jim and Karen go, would they have had Ryan go too if he was applying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. It is a little strange that he's a surprise that Michael and Jim and Karen all don't know.
I mean, go ahead, Sean. Go ahead.
Well, Ryan's a temp. No, a salesman at this
he's
point
a temp
in the show.
Still.
Junior sales executive,
I think he's a
junior,
salesman, because he took over for Jim Anyways.
That'll show him. That might
right, yeah, because he learns how to make a sale from Dwight and stuff like that. Sure. But I could easily see just no one really caring that he's like, hey, I'm going to be gone tomorrow. And they're just like, okay, thanks, Temp.
Yeah. I mean,
he snuck up there and had the interview.
What David says is, what he takes that call is, so I know we left the other day on a note of uncertainty, but after some more thought, I'm very pleased to be able to offer you this job. Mm-hmm. You know, it'll be nice to have another MBA around. So we can assume Ryan finishes school and immediately is like, okay, can I work above Michael, please? And I assume they did this on the phone. But yeah, maybe they talked and like none of the applicants were jumping out to David or...
Well, we know that Jim probably turned the job down, said that he didn't want it.
Withdrew his name for consideration.
Right. And
So did Michael.
And so did Michael. I think it's fair to guess that Jim was going to get the job.
Mm. I think that's what we're led to believe, yes.
And then when it wasn't Jim, Michael might have been next in line. But it's later questionable whether or not he was actually being considered. What do you want me to say? He's a nice guy. But yeah, so I mean, I could see, them not really taking Ryan's interview so seriously and just saying, well, let's just do it over the phone. And well, you know, we've got a lot of other applicants. And then it was like, oh, God, well, what about this kid? He's an MBA. Yeah. Why aren't we considering him? What about this guy? Went to Cornell.
Yeah. Ryan for VP?
Yeah.
I think the other thing that could have happened, and again, we're just making stuff up, but via business school, there's some sort of connection to Dunder Mifflin Corporate, like for whatever Ryan's higher education program is. Often there are networking opportunities or mentoring opportunities, and maybe I'm just making up a scenario where maybe a mentor or someone in his network says, well, I know David Wallace. I could give him a call. And then it would be very easy to believe that you're being buried under Michael, where he's got this weird relationship with you.
Very weird.
And you've got a lot of thoughts about how the company could run and how the branches should not be run based on Michael. Like he says to Jim in the next season, I know exactly how much time and manpower is wasted at this branch. Or he says that to, I think he says that to Michael or Jim, but he says if you spend as much time
Jim. Yeah.
Yeah. As you do goofing off with Dwight and talking to Pam, we wouldn't be having this conversation. So that's the missing link.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think it was just the opportunity to hire someone that young who maybe was probably kissing a lot of David Wallace's ass and was like, "Hey, I have new ideas. You're a failing paper company, and you need some new blood in there." And that was probably attractive to the board, and they went ahead and hired him. And he promptly defrauded the company.
But we will do a bigger episode about David Wallace, and I think we'll dig into whether or not David Wallace is an effective manager.
I mean,
an effective VP, I guess.
I'll say manager. This: he gets talked into huge decisions quickly, often on the show. So Ryan being
a multi-million-dollar buyout,
I know, and he just does it, or even Andy convincing him to buy the whole company back. Like he just does these things, so it's not hard to believe Ryan could talk himself into that job. So. But Becca, thank you for joining the fam and welcome
Becca.
The office. All right, we've been to Arkansas, to Alabama, and we'll stay in the southern half of the U.S., but move a little west to Jacob in Phoenix.
Hey, MSPC, Jacob calling from Dunder Mifflin, Phoenix. I want to start out saying love the pod, love what you guys do. Honestly, it's great. I'm a constant re-listener.
Thanks,
and
man.
Usually I bounce around with your episodes, but this time I've started from one and I'm rolling all the way through.
Let's go.
Enjoying it very much. And just again, thanks for what you guys do. You put out great content, hilarious. Love the drops. Alex, great job. Sean, love your comments, your darkness. Amazing. Edwin, love your knowledge and commitment to the show. So thanks again, guys.
Good love Sean's wardrobe, too.
Quick comment. You don't have to discuss it too much, but in the Niagara episode, I always found this strange. When Dwight is giving his confirmation code, he uses the phonetic alphabet for the first two letters, but then doesn't for the third. You know, Romeo, Tango, G. Like, why would he not say Romeo, Tango, Golf? Very often. I use the phonetic alphabet a lot in my line of work, and I just find it strange that Dwight would not finish it off. I don't know. Weird little thing I noticed. As much as I watch the show, you know how it is. You pick up on this thing, so... Anyways, do with that what you will. Love you guys. Keep it up. Can't wait to hear the next episode next Thursday. Later, guys.
Yeah. Thank you.
Ask and you shall receive. Thanks, man.
That's so funny. I mean, I've never noticed that, but I wonder if it's just, I mean, Dwight is so confident in his knowledge of these things, like military lingo and all these things that, you know, it's great when you get little reminders that he's not actually trained at any of this.
No, he's not.
He's a volunteer sheriff's deputy.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, he must be a, you know, prolific reader or something like that. But yeah, I like that, you know, he forgot. He doesn't know what G is because he doesn't need to use the phonetic alphabet.
No.
That often.
No. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, and I had spoken to Teresa about a room with two safes. Nothing to contribute any of value. Just the next line from Dwight. Why does he need two safes?
Yeah. Mine was green. All right. Just a quick question. So I know the phonetic alphabet up through like H or J, H-I-J ish. Do you guys know? Do you know the whole thing?
No.
Alpha, Bravo, Charlie, Delta, Echo, Foxtrot, Golf, Hotel, India, Juliet. I only know that from playing video games and Call of Duty. Hmm. But after that, here's how it goes.
Kangaroo.
Do you know it goes Kilo, Lima, Mike,
oh, yeah.
November, Oscar, Papa, Quebec. They have a Q in there. Quebec, Romeo, Sierra, Tango, of course, Uniform, Victor, W is Whiskey, X-Ray, Yankee, and do you know Z?
Zuma. Zelda.
Zulu. Close.
Zulu.
There you go. There's the whole alphabet for you.
All right.
That's it.
Great. Now we'll always remember that.
If we're going initials, we could call you Sean Sierra Romeo, which is a cool name.
Sierra Romeo just a sick is name. A cool name.
Yeah. Edwin, you'd be Echo Juliet.
I do all the time.
And I'd be Alpha Whiskey. Which
you
I love.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I do often have to correct people spelling my last name because
there you go.
I always have to say N as in November.
I do too.
All the time.
Juliet, Alpha, November, Echo, Sierra.
Yeah, you should start doing. But I love the catch of the small detail. That's like my favorite thing about one of my favorite things about the show is that all the little details. You know what? One thing that I saw in preparing for this episode for Hank is when Michael says, "You think Hank's going to be loyal to you? Hank, please escort Charles from the building." There's a look that Charles gives to the camera. It's really, really quick, but it's great. Yeah.
Love it. All right. Thank you, Jacob. Let's move on. Last voicemail here from M.
Hey, what up, Cynthia? This is M from the Northeast branch. I think y'all quote this interaction several times, but I've never heard you actually talk about the joke, so I thought I'd just chime in. It's between Kelly's parents and Michael at the Diwali celebration. After Kelly's dad asks how long he's been married to the cheerleader, aka Carol, Kelly's mom says, "She is very fair." And Michael replies, "She is very fair and very kind." But what she meant was, "She's very pale and blonde." And what Michael heard is, "She has a finely tuned sense of justice." And that has always made me laugh. Love you guys. Fleece it out.
What an exceptionally well-read voicemail or well-said voicemail.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Rehearsed. It was definitely written down and reading
off
it.
What up, Cynthia?
But what up, Cynthia?
So good.
Yeah, what up, Cynthia? just a minute, Cynthia.
Yeah. I just like this.
The way Michael hangs his head after that is
yeah. I like that. It kind of goes off our first voicemail of just noticing a little detail that I really like. Because I think she's totally right that Michael does think, she is very fair and kind. Like, and I think that's just funny to think that's what's going on in Michael's head.
Yeah.
I think it's exactly right. Yeah, I think that's totally the exact joke, but it's so, so good. That Michael has an interaction with Kelly's parents, too, is really funny.
Totally.
Yeah. But yeah, and the way that he looks at her, she is very fair and very kind.
There's a few of those when Michael earnestly doesn't know what's going on, but he still like rolls with it. I just had another example.
It's a very gay friendly neighborhood. Great. That's great.
Michael is the king of confidently incorrect.
That's a very good way to put it.
Nobody I don't know what the f- that was.
Perfect.
That's all. That's a short one. But okay. A model voicemail right there. Thank you so much.
Thank you, M.
That's it for the VMs, guys.
Okay. Well, then that means that it's time to get to the winner of our costume contest.
To crown our Hay King.
It's me. I am the winner of the costume contest.
Purebred, mixed bread, or purebred.
Thank you so much to everybody who sent us costumes. We asked that you send them via email. Some of you did send them to us on Instagram, too.
We love them all
very much.
Some adorable babies as Dwight.
God, baby Dwight always kills me.
Baby Dwight is so good. We had
several different kid Dwights come in.
The parted hair and the big glasses.
The tie.
Hilarious.
Yeah. We had good ones. Yeah. A lot of honorable mentions. And again, we'll post some of the winners here. But yeah, we had a bunch of good ones. But we wanted to give a shout out to a few people that sent us in just great stuff. A few different Pam cats. I know, Leah, you sent in a Pam cat that was great as well. We also had Courtney, who went as a cat Pam. Our partner went as cat Pam. She was three-hole punch Jim. Several three-hole punch Jims. Mm-hmm. The Office fan's office costume right there. Yeah, Sam sent in, had three of them. A golden face and Creed with blood splattered over, and Madge as well. Really good stuff. But let's start with, we had a tie in for third place. And again, we're giving our first place winner a sweater from the store, but we want to shout out, and we'll post these, of our tie for third place we had is between Dave, who went as Madge. Dave, who went as Jim as
Jim
Madge.
As Madge.
Which Perfect. Is, the details were awesome. He had the mustache, the big old mustache, a Madge badge on there, a clipboard, looked fantastic. And we love the extra detail of going as Jim as Madge. That's great.
Well done.
Also tied there with Jess, who went as hospitalized D'Angelo, but it was a two-parter costume because her friend was also D'Angelo pre-injury as well. So great 1-2 combo there.
I don't know if you guys have seen the meme or the photo of D'Angela, which is just Will Ferrell's face as Angela. God, that would be an amazing costume. I don't know how you'd bring it to life, but if you had it D'Angela.
Stuff of nightmares right there.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Oh, also, sorry, really quick, to shout out the Baby Dwights. Drew dressed his kid as a Baby Dwight, and Lucy also dressed her kid as Dwight, and both of them absolutely crushed it.
So cute, so funny,
really cute. But you know, it's hard to choose between two kid Dwights, right? Our runner up, our second place here, goes to Maddie, who made a Fun Run Dwight and Michael costume. Two of them went together, and
they recreated the a screen grab,
yes, of Dwight in the Shroot Farms Beats shirt. Michael, they each had 1 and 2, the jersey numbers, and it's just a great detail, them going as 1 is 2. Michael's like, I will be 1. Can I be 2, Michael? That must have happened at some point. But the expression on Maddie's face, the physical properties she brought to this costume are...
That's mm-hmm. stiff bottom lip.
It's really funny. Just to go back and forth between them is really good.
We love the details, which brings us to our winner of our costume contest this year, Matt, who went as Michael from the injury. That's Michael with a bubble-wrapped foot. I mean, guys, what can you say about this?
It's perfect. He's got the bubble-wrapped foot. He's on the crutches, so it's like you got to... you got to commit to the crutches all night.
Unless you're walking on the bubble wrap, but like that would be unpleasant. I feel like pop it all.
You'd have sweats.
Yeah,
I mean, he actually burned his foot in a George Foreman.
I can see it. Right? No, he didn't. But he's got the one running shoe. He's got the right color sweatpants. He's got the unbuttoned shirt, and he's still wearing the jacket.
Yeah,
every bit it's of meticulous. Detail, head to toe. Just did it perfectly.
If only he had Country Crock.
Yeah. Okay. So Matt, we'll reach out to you on email and get back to you and get you a sweater, and then. Y'all blast on your socials out there. Show rep the gear. Show it. We got some samples in. We're liking how it looks. And you can get your own, too.
Yeah,
Thank you again for everyone who sent in pictures and stuff. It's always fun to interact with everybody and just kind of like... these are kind of things that you do for one night, and it's fun to kind of reconnect with all these different Office fans and see all these costumes together. It's pretty amazing.
So, yep. Yeah. And none of us went as Office costumes, but I did say I would go as adjacent one, which for me was as Ted Lasso, as we did the Boss. So it's in our MSPC feed, but it wasn't an Office costume. But yes, and my partner went as Keeley. That was a good time.
It was a great costume.
I want to say this to Sean and his wife Ryan, absolutely just killed this costume. Raleigh St. Clair and Dudley from the Royal Tenenbaums. That's Bill Murray's character and the kid that he is studying. It was perfect, Sean. It's really perfect. He dyed his whole beard gray. It was awesome.
It was all Ryan's idea. Yeah, we made the book. Ryan made the hat that says Dudley embroidered on it.
You had a purple turtleneck.
Oh yeah,
the big pants,
the corduroy jacket. Oh, yeah,
God, it was good. It was really well
if
done.
You know, you know. Yep. But
Edwin, did you dress up for anything?
No, I didn't. Not a cool. There's no good story about this. I was worried you were
Edwin.
Throw
it was your birthday weekend, so happy birthday!
Thanks, buddy.
Darn.
You know what? Yeah, my cousins in town were out of town, and.
Happy birthday, Creed.
But basically, I've had a ton of busy weekends, and I was very grateful for a low-key one. So, yeah.
Nice.
Really, really good podcast content right here.
Just a guy's afternoon in. Yeah. All right. Well, congrats to Matt. Great job. We'll post that. If you're okay with that, we'll post that photo on our socials in this week when it comes out.
Thank you to everyone who submitted for the costume contest, and thank you to everyone who calls in and leaves us voicemails that we love to play on the show. You can call and leave us one, 503-694-9314. Call and do your best to keep it under 90 seconds. It could wind up on the show. I'm not sure. We're not super strict about that. But anyway, email us at mspodcastcompany@gmail.com. Send us trivia. Send us questions.
We got all of the trivia that people sent. Thank you.
Thank you.
We have a whole bunch. We can do an extended trivia episode here soon.
Our shelves are overflowing with preserves.
Trivia preserves.
Really appreciate that. Thank you. We're on Facebook and Instagram. We have a website, michaelscottpod.com. We now have a merch store, mspcstore.com. Get yourself a sweater, a t-shirt, or a mug. You can pick... any character.
The Nate mugs are selling like hotcakes.
Oh, baby.
Yeah.
And join us on Patreon. Patreon.com/Michael Scott. Become a Scott's Tot. It's $5 a month. You support the show. You get bonus content on there. We've done several monthly mailbag episodes that you can listen to. So if you've listened to this entire catalog, there's more. And then you can join the conversation and send us questions every month, and we'll answer them on our mailbag episode. We also make a donation to the Thurgood Marshall College Fund as well. So please join us on Patreon. Special thanks to all of our Scott's Tots. We love you guys so much. Thank you for believing in this and supporting this show. Special thanks to Ryan Lloyd, who designs all our artwork, which you'll find on the merch store. This episode was recorded over video chat.
Thank you for listening.
In Portland and Leavenworth.
And Leavenworth coming live from Leavenworth, Washington.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for listening. It is amazing to interact with everyone, to know that there are people out there listening to us hang out. Thank you for spending some time with us. You know, whatever we do here, people say that they re-listen. That's like such an amazing compliment to get. Like, and it really, really warms my heart, warms our hearts. So it's so cool. And just know that we truly appreciate it. And take care, stay safe, and we'll see you next week.
Pippity poppy, give me the zombie.
Yes, sir.
Wait. Don't skip ahead just yet. I know you were about to. Chances are, if you're listening to this podcast, then you'll love mine too. If you like podcasts that break down all of your favorite water cooler reality TV shows like The Real Housewives or big budget movies like Wakanda Forever, then this is the podcast for you. Subscribe to my podcast, Reality and Comics 2, and listen to episodes like my interview with Robin Dixon of The Real Housewives of Potomac or my interviews with your favorite bombshells from Love Island USA. That's Reality and Comics 2. And I'm Kendrick. See you there.